as we gather, may your spirit move among us. As we gather, may we glorify your name.
His faithfulness. We can meet each other once again this Sunday. And the week has been good for every one of us, and we thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for being once again assembled in the place of meeting, O Lord, where an appointment has been made and where you always come to meet us and to provide to our needs, O Lord. As a caring father, you come to check on your children, O Lord, to hear, to listen to our requests and to provide to our needs, O Lord. We came with a needy heart. We came with many requests, necessities, O Lord, but we believe that before even we open our mouths, you, our Father, you have provided and you have granted to our needs, O Lord. We commit now the service into your hand. Take control, O Lord. Let us forget about ourselves and put ourselves down at the cross, under the altar, O Lord, where the fire of the everlasting one will burn, O Lord. And take away every filthiness, O Lord. Take away anything that doesn't confess your perfect will in us, O Lord. And at the end, your perfect image will be reflected in us, O Lord. The more we stand in your presence, there's a power that transforms. And let that transforming power make us look different, O Lord, so that at the end of the service, when we look back, we say we are not the same as we came, O Lord. Bless now, take control of the service, the preaching, the singing, the worship, everything. Bless the Sunday school lessons upstairs and down here. We commit everything into your hands in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's open Ezekiel 36:26. We're still on our topic. New heart. We're going to see a little more today. 36:26, Ezekiel. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. You may be seated. God bless you. I would like to thank you for your prayers for my family. I think God has been good to us. So you can see they are sitting there. They are well. And God's name be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are going to see, last week we were talking about the stony heart, you know, trying to identify who exactly it is. And we were showing that it's the same person they are talking about when the Bible speaks about the old man. It's talking about the stony heart. It's talking about the fleshly nature, the carnal nature. All those names, they are just synonyms of the same person who is the person of sin. So we wanted to identify him because there's something that needs to be done. God promised that he is going to take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. So we saw that the stony heart is sin in us. And Paul recommends us now that when we have identified him, who he is, there's a recommendation that he should die. Amen. So the taking away of the stony heart means we must do everything in our power to make it die. It should die. That's why Paul says in Romans 6, 5 to 6, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." So it must be crucified, and the body of sin must be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the only way the stony heart can be taken away is through the death of the old man. The old man, there's no way you can manage to keep him alive and also have a fleshy heart. There's no way you can keep both. This man of flesh, the old man, must die. The stony heart must be crucified so that the new heart will take place. Why? Colossians 3:5. Paul insists again. Colossians 3:5. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." In other words, put to death. "Therefore, your members which are upon the earth," naming them, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and so forth. They have to die. There's no way. Because if they are alive, there's a struggle of influence in your body. There'll be two there trying to influence you. The only way to win that battle is to make one die. Why should we mortify? Why should we put to death the members of our bodies, of our old nature? Because Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, our shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So from conception, by design, we are designed to be, you know, submitted. We are designed in sin. We are designed, we are framed, we are wired to commit sin, to be disobedient, to be rebellious. That's why we have to mortify these members. Because we have been conceived in sin and born in iniquity. That's why the old man must die. It is a must. There's no middle ground. There's no negotiation. It's a matter of death or life. The old man must die because he was born in sin and conceived in iniquity. That's why Paul found himself in a position where the old man, the stony flesh, sorry, the stony heart, was still in him while he was trying to live the word of God. Many of us, we are in this that condition. We have received the word. We believe, we accept, we are happy, we have the joy of salvation. We want to serve the Lord. But the old man, the stony heart, is still there. And Paul now was pulled by this, both these powers, one side and the other. I want to do good, but the evil is there. When I want, the good I know, I can't do it. But the evil I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. The great Apostle Paul. Not anyone. The great Apostle Paul, the messenger who was taken, who was raptured to the third heaven. So how about you and me? He was still there many years after his conversion. Preacher, making churches, establishing churches here and there. But he was still struggling with that man there because he has to be put to death. As long as he was not dead, he was still having his influence in Paul, so that Paul could say, I know what is good. I know how to do good, but I can't do it. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So there was two people down there, the old man and the inward man, trying to live together. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. That's why death is required. No man can serve two masters. As long as Paul had them two alive there, you can't serve them. Jesus says, you will despise one and favor the other. You will hate one. It's natural. It's natural. You can't love them the same way. Even loving them the same way is still wrong. Even if it was possible, it's still wrong. Because at some stage, one will say, go left. The other one will say, go right. What will you do? This eye will go this one and this one the other way. No. So there's no way. That's why he has to die. Paul said, who shall deliver? Oh, wretched man that I am. He was miserable. You are miserable in that condition. When they live both together. That's why you can't serve them two together. You have to make a choice. One of them must die. One of them must be starved to death. Or you starve the Holy Ghost, or you starve the old man. Make your choice. Amen. So what's the solution? Solution is only death. He has to die. There's no choice. I know you want to serve the Lord. Sometimes when you commit, you fall in sin, you regret, you are very, saddened. Why? Because that inner man, that inward man wants to do good. But you are trying to give a lot of room to this old friend. So there's no way you can serve God correctly until you bring him to death. Paul says this, Romans 7. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband is dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. As long as that husband, that old man, that old nature is still alive in you, you are bound. That's why Paul is talking about a law in him. He's submitted to that law so that he has to be obedient to that because the old husband, that husband is still alive. Paul found himself that he found a new husband to whom he wants to obey. But this old husband was still alive in him. So there was no way he could obey, serve the new husband, while the old husband, remember the old one, is there since you were born. So he knows his territory. He knows the ground very, he knows you better than yourself. Amen. He knows that your weakness is money. So the time you start to try to serve God and so forth, he gives you €1,000. Should I go to church? Or go and do an extra hour? You know, so that's why he has to die. As long as the husband is the woman, for the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband, as long as he lives. But if the husband is dead, she's loosed. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. That's why you are, God, you know, God works by principles. God knows that you are married to another man. Amen. Though he is the devil, call him as you like, God doesn't like adultery. He wouldn't let you commit adultery with him while you are married to that other guy. He will respect your vows. He will respect your vows of marriage. So as long as you are married to that man, God wouldn't come and try to sneak and try to... You can't accommodate both. Amen? So as long as the man is alive, she got married to another man, she's an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she's free from the law. She's free from that law. That's the only way to release yourself from the law of the stony heart is through the death of the old man, of the old nature, so that she's not adulterous, though she be married to another man. If you are dead to that man, you can now marry Jesus, and Jesus won't count you as an adulteress. Yes, amen. That's why we'll see it in a short illustration between David and Bathsheba. We know that story. Bathsheba, just to show the importance of the death of the old man, of the old nature. You know, Bathsheba, she was born with a potential in her to bring something powerful on earth. Amen. Amen. She was born with a potential to bring the greatest king of Israel on earth. She was born with a potential to establish the millennium in Israel. You know that. Because the prophet says, under the kingship of Solomon, it was the millennium for Israel. But Bathsheba couldn't manifest that gift, that potential which was in her, as long as Uriah was alive. She was married to a man. She was married to an old man. Though she had the potential to bring forth Solomon, but as long as Uriah was alive, she couldn't manifest that nature. She couldn't bring peace on earth. She couldn't manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because she was bound to the old husband. Amen. So what was required was the death. They couldn't be both together. David was the root. David had in him, the king of kings who had to reign on Israel. David was the type of Christ. But Christ couldn't be married to Bathsheba as long as Uriah was alive. Death has to take place. So that's why you see Bathsheba, when she was under the reign of Uriah, she was a loose woman. She was a worldly woman. Though she had the potential to bring forth someone who was going to be, you know, who was going to reign an adopted child over Israel, but she was busy in the things of the world. while she had to consecrate her body to bringing forth what God has destined her to bring, she was busy on TikTok, exposed herself naked. Amen. She was busy posting her naked pictures publicly. That's what she was doing. Today we can say, oh, no, it wasn't. No. How can a woman in a city where there's tall buildings go and do what she was doing? There's tall buildings around. You know, tall buildings today are here. These are the tall buildings, you know. You can expose yourself here and everybody down TikTok, you know, amen. Facebook. I'm not against it. But how do you use it? They can be powerful tools for the kingdom of God. It depends on how you are using it. Amen. So she was there exposing herself, posting naked pictures here and there and trying to entice the men of God here and there. That's why just be careful. Examine yourself. How do you present yourself in the house of God? Not even in the house of God, in public. Especially our sisters. Watch over yourself. If you are not sure, get someone to check on you. Amen. Get someone, get your husband to check on you. Get your brother, get your sister to check on you. Because Bathsheba was there busy, trying that she was doing something good, but she was entertaining the old man. While the old man was there, she was there trying to manifest the works of the old man in her. But God wanted the old man to be dead so that she would be free to bring forth Solomon. What did God do? He used the old man to kill the old man. Amen. That's why, you know, Uriah went there with a letter under his shoulder, a letter, instructions on how we would be killed. Let's use the devil's tools, instruments, to kill him in us. Uriah went himself commissioned with instructions that will kill him. That's why you have the commission today to take the old man, bring him to church. Amen. Amen. Bring him to church. Take your Bible. Bring him to the, there's a Joab here. Because David wrote and sent instructions to Joab. Put him where the battle will be the strongest. The Joab will stand here. Brother Andrew, our Joab. Bring the old man here with the instructions under your shoulders. And Joab know how to put that old man on the point where he will be killed, starved to death completely. And the instructions went. The man was put in a position where he couldn't, Bathsheba couldn't keep to entertain that old man in him. He was put in a position where he has to be dead. And he was dead. Bathsheba was now free to manifest Solomon. Because she was dead to the old man. They couldn't live together. They couldn't be two at the same time. She had to die to the old man. Then she was free now that Christ, who David was the type, can come now and marry her. And she was now able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? You know the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these fruits, it was during the reign of Solomon. Israel was under rest. They had defeated all their enemies. There was peace in Israel. There was nobody who could come to, because they had overcome devs, you know, put all their enemies under their feet. Why? Because Bathsheba died to the old man. She was ready to manifest, to bring forth Solomon, who was going to bring, the reign of peace, the fruit of peace in Israel. Wisdom was going to reign over Israel, the fruits of the new man, of the new person. Are we together? So, before Bathsheba was busy, let's read 1 Samuel. Yeah, still have a few minutes. Since now she was free from the law of the old man, 2 Samuel chapter 1, from verse 11. We know that after the death of the old man, she gave birth to Solomon. And now it was the time when David was about to die. He was old. 2 Samuel 2, 11, from 11 to 15. That's the death of Uriah. Sorry. No, it's actually 2 Kings chapter 1 from verse 11 to 15. Yes, I took it wrong. Now David was old and dying. His son Adonijah proclaimed himself king, and he was almost taking power. He was almost sitting on the throne while his dad was still alive. Now this old, same woman who was still, when the old man was alive, she was busy on TikTok posting her naked pictures. This time now she was sensitive to the things of the spirit. When the old man was dead, she was sensitive now to watch the signs, spiritual signs. It was the time when David was about to die and Adonijah was taking the throne. But she knew that she had the promise to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. It had to come through her. It was time for her to be busy so that the fruit of her womb or for whom will take possession and reign over Israel. Verse 11. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, does reign, and David our Lord knows it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. And go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Did not you say, my lord, O king, swear unto your handmaid, saying, Assuredly, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then does Adonijah reign? Behold, while you yet talks there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm thy words. Verse 15, And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old. You see, now, instead of her sitting there posting her naked pictures on Instagram, she was now listening to the prophet. She became more spiritual. Under the reign, under the rulership of Uriah, she was manifesting the works of the flesh. But when the old man died, now that the new man was ruled, Jesus Christ was ruling on her, she was now listening to the prophet. She received instructions to the prophet. Go and say this, because it's the time of the manifestation of the Son of God. It's the time of the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Go and take claim your position. She was listening careful to the counsel of the prophet now. And she went, and her son was established king, and it brought forth the millennium in Israel. That's what God is requiring from us. Killing the old man. making sure that you bring him here, bring him to church. There are instructions here. Our David has written instructions, and he has established ministers will help you to kill him. And once he is dead, you can then produce Solomon. You can bring forth the millennium in your life. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now that we are going to start the main service, we know that what has been said is just an introduction of the main meal you have prepared for us today, O Lord. Be with your servant as he will talk to us. Give him more inspiration. Let him take freshly the manna from your presence as he's in his closet. Make our hearts ready for worship and for the eating of the word, O Lord. We commit everything into your hands. Bless our children up there. Bless the song leaders. Bless the musicians. Bless the technicians back there. Let the glory be unto you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.